doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you guys very much. Y'all definitely led me in worship. I appreciate that a lot. Well, good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Forgot my water. And do without that. I've been saying all week, I'm going to forget to take my water up on stage. I'm going to forget. I forgot. The primary way God has set up for discipleship to happen in this Christian life is through the family. What we're going to see today from Scripture is that it is supposed to happen, discipleship in this Christian life is supposed to happen from the parents to the children, with direct involvement in their lives. And mainly the verse we're looking at today, and I think all of Scripture, emphasizes a father's role in that discipleship. This is not to say that mothers don't have an important role. They have an extremely important role. But what we see is the emphasis is the father as the leader, and through that leadership, the couple leading the family together. Now, some of you are probably saying, what's this kid doing up here? He doesn't even have kids. That's true. I don't have kids. I'm not coming to you today as a father. Obviously, I'm not a father, and not going to be anytime soon. I know everyone is thinking. See, you're laughing. I know. I do not come to you today as a father, but I am coming to you as a son, first of all, of God, and a son that has had some experience in a family who has had both ups and downs of family discipleship. And most importantly, I come to you today on the authority of the Word of God. I stand on the Word of God and what it says. I'm not making this up. If I was making it up, I'd probably make it a little easier so that you would like me. But I'm not making this up. This came straight from the Word of God. And I pray that if I did make anything up, that it'll be wiped from your memory. And let me just say also, if you have a problem with anything I say, I'd love to hear from you about it. So come talk to me afterwards or during the week or whatever. Pray with me if you would. Lord God, we give you praise because you're worthy, because you deserve it. We give you thanks for your word, and we ask that your word would be our teacher today. And that all people would get out of the way and merely be vessels for your word to speak to us. We ask your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a short video clip.
Right?
Yeah. Let me tell you, somebody knew what they were telling that kid. He's got his theology straight. Alright, so turn with me, you are turned with me, so look with me at Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now the parents are saying, all right, he's going to slam my kids. Yeah. I didn't want to come up here and present this as like parent bashing day. You're doing it wrong. Listen to what the Bible says. So I want to introduce with, yes, your kids, obedience is an extremely important part of family discipleship. We can't leave that out because it's in Scripture. So we look and we see this direction to the kids to obey your parents. So we're not leaving that out, lest you had feared that. Read with me verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So it's saying fathers here, but of course this applies to moms as well. So moms out there and women out there, I want you to take this as a directions to parents, with the father being the leader, but the two parents as one. Okay, so we see that it says, don't provoke your children to anger. The word here that's translated from the original language that the New Testament was written in, the word that's translated provoke is actually, it's two words put together. So it's a compound word. And one of the purposes of this in the original language of the New Testament was to change a verb around a little bit. The plain old word provoke, it sort of has a sense of, you know, I am angry or I'm being provoked to anger, and it's more of a reflexive type of thing. This here, when you put this compound word together, it takes it to a higher level. It's like a stronger verb. It's like you are provoking someone to anger. So that's what this is. But also, it's interesting, when you pick the word apart, you find a interesting insight here. The first part of the word means to come alongside or to be alongside something or someone. And the second part of the word is plain old just provoke or make angry or be angry. And that word, that just the plain old provoke, is used tons of times in the New Testament, and its equivalent is used tons of times in the Old Testament too. But this word here, this compound word that combines alongside with provoke, is only used twice in the New Testament, and this is one of them. So we can see here that this word isn't just kind of randomly chosen out of the sky. Paul, the writer of Ephesians, chose this word to say something pretty specific, to say something more, to beef up this idea of provoking your kids to anger. And so it's almost like he's saying, as the one who comes alongside your kids, don't provoke them to anger. Don't be the one who's alongside them provoking them to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, we need to understand also that I don't think provoking is talking about just talking about, oh, don't spank them too hard, or don't yell at them, or don't make them take out the trash too much, and stuff like that. I think that those type of things are there. But we see in here, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we've got a contrast between how to bring your kids up and how not to bring your kids up. Now, the context here that Paul is writing in, the context that he's been speaking in over the last couple of paragraphs is, say it with me, relationships. Good job. You thought you would be free of it, but no, it's still here. And so he makes this contrast between how to bring up your kids in God's way and how not to. So let's look even farther into that first part. Fathers, do not provoke your children. How do you provoke your kids? You're like, oh boy, this church is going to teach me how to provoke my kids. All right, this is great. It tells you how in the second part of the verse. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So how do you provoke your kids? you don't bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That is going to build into them the anger that it's talking about. That's going to provoke them to anger. As the one alongside them, if you don't discipline them, and if you don't bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, that's going to provoke that anger in them. So I'll tell you how to provoke your kids. Don't teach them the Word of God. When they screw up, don't help them. Just leave them be. Sit there and do nothing. Don't bring them to church where they can fellowship with other believers. Don't ever, ever pray for them or with them at all. That's how to provoke your kids, according to what the Scripture is saying with the contrast between these two things. So, with that out of the way, how is it that the Scripture tells us to bring our kids up? The second part of the verse says, "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." He's got two different words that he uses, discipline and instruction. And in a way, they could kind of be synonymous. I think he's really trying to say two big parts of bringing kids up God's way. So the first big part here is discipline. Bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, I don't think we can look at this word as just punishment. Let me tell you why. Back to the original language that the New Testament was written in, that word discipline comes from a word group, okay? And the word group is centered around the word child. All right, so this discipline isn't meaning, you know, just spanking or sit in the corner or time out or whatever. This is actually talking about raising a child. So discipline, basically from what this is saying, is raising a child up. So Paul's not just using a random word here again. He's choosing this one that's related to the word group for child or children. And he's bringing it in to teach us how to bring up kids in God's way. One related word that I ran across in studying a little bit was the word training. And I looked it up in the English dictionary, and one of the definitions that I found was referring to like a gardener tending a plant. And it actually can mean to train a plant can mean to bend or to prune or to tie off. So I want you to picture this with me. Oh, look, here's a plant right here. Cool. So I'm trying to train this plant. I don't know how well that's going to work. But if I can bend it or wrap it around the symbol here, okay, or prune it so that it'll grow, so that it'll produce more fruit, or maybe tie it off to a piece of decoration in my garden so that it'll grow a certain way. I'm there with the plant. I'm getting my hands dirty. This is the part, this discipline, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord, is the part of discipling a kid where you get your hands dirty, where you get beside them, you walk alongside them in life, according to the Scripture. So, my question is, are you talking with your kids about what's going on in their lives? Are you listening to them? Are you living the gospel in front of them? Please don't hear me saying, you are not living the gospel in front of them. I'm asking you to think to yourself, am I living the gospel in front of my kids? Am I talking with them on a regular basis about what's going on in their lives? Am I listening to them? Am I open? And let me say here too, I don't think this verse is just limiting itself to just people who have kids and are raising kids right now. A lot of you don't have kids and you're here in this church and you're adults. You've heard your pastor say over and over, and every time you raise your hand at a baptism to say, I'll take care of this kid as part of this church. You've heard your pastor say over and over that you, every one of you, is a parent to the kids in this church. So you can take a kid by your side. You can walk alongside them, You can show them the gospel in your life. You can talk to them about what's going on in their lives. You can be alongside them. And there are also a lot of you out there who have grown children. They're out of your house. You know, you're doing the great time, fun time with your wife thing. Of course, I don't know what that's about because I don't even have any kids yet. Actually, I am having time with my wife because I don't have any kids. There's a thought. But I haven't had kids. I think you have an extremely important role. Those of you who have kids that are grown up and you're not actively raising them anymore as far as training them and showing them what to do. There are parents right now with kids in their houses in this church that you can go to and be a valuable part of their discipleship and say, let me show you a little bit about what it means to raise a child God's way, to bring a child up in the discipline of the Lord. Now, maybe you're saying to yourself, now, wait a second. I was a terrible parent, so I can't do that. Wrong. I don't care if you were a terrible parent. You don't have to be a great parent, or you don't have to have been. Does that make sense? It's a little weird. But you don't have to have been a great parent to help other parents that are raising kids right now. You can walk with them through some of the provoking stuff that we talked about earlier. All that you need is to realize those mistakes that you may have made and realize some of the successes that you've made, because I'm sure there are both. Wherever you might fall on the spectrum, I'm sure that there are both there. And maybe God has brought you here for a time such as this. In this world where there's uncertainties, economic stress, drugs all over the place, you know, all the things that we hear about all the time. Maybe God has brought you, who have your kids out of the house, maybe he's brought you here for such a time as this to walk alongside other parents who are needing that. Because the primary way that God has set up for discipleship to happen is in the family. This discipline, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. This is the relationship part of discipling a kid. He also says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So you have discipline and instruction. Now, the sense of instruction here is kind of one of like admonishment. So it's something, it's not like a car manual, okay, or just instructions for a bike where you could theoretically buy a bike that's not put together, leave it and the instruction booklet over in the corner, and nobody would think the worse of you, except for maybe you wasted a little money and why did you buy that bike if you're not going to ride it? But this is a little bit broader, I think. This is an instruction that's expecting results. I ran across one really interesting definition of the word instruct, and it was to provide with authoritative information. Authoritative information. There it is, right there. Instructing your kids, providing them with authoritative information, namely God's word. If you want to, you can turn with, I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want, you can turn there with me. Russell, 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 Russell. I love that sound. God's speaking to the Israelites after speaking many words of commandment to them. He reiterates the Ten Commandments again in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. In verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4. Isn't that interesting? We're in Ephesians 4. Now we're in Deuteronomy 6, 4. Okay. In verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." So we see here that God has set it up from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, which stretches into our time. We are under the new covenant in Christ's blood. From all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has set it up for the parents to be the ones who teach their children the Word of God. I didn't make this up. This is what Scripture sets up for us to understand. So this is the part where you teach the Word of God. You live the Word of God out in your life. You let your kids see the Word of God. Do your kids know that it is important to you that they get the Word of God in their hearts? Are you developing any type of devotional attitude of spending time in God's Word with them? Again, please don't hear me saying, you're not getting your kids to spend time in the Word. I'm not saying that. I'm asking you to ask yourself these questions. Are you getting your kids in the Word of God? For those who don't have kids necessarily in this church, or maybe your kids have moved out, are you teaching the kids here at Faith the Word of God? Some of you are. Some of you are faithfully teaching the Word of God in any capacity. And it doesn't have to be a Sunday school class for the three-year-olds or the junior high or whatever. It can be being a deacon and caring for people in need. That's living out the Word of God. The Word of God says so much about that type of thing. Living out the Word of God in front of these kids. And I think we have to look here very quickly at another quick point. I think we have to pay attention to whose instruction this is. It says, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. So are we teaching our kids the Word of God, or are we mixing in a little bit of what we've always heard? Now, am I saying, oh, tradition's bad, throw it out the window, just sit in a corner and read the Bible all day? No, I'm not. There are some very valuable traditions in the Presbyterian Church and in a lot of other churches out there. Some very valuable traditions that can teach us a lot about the Word of God. But am I saying that it's easy to kind of take that sometimes and twist it a little bit and say, oh, well, we should probably do it this way and this way, and hold it in a little bit higher regard than the Word of God? It is all too easy. It's all too easy for me to take something that's not in Scripture and kind of run with it. So are we being faithful to the text of Scripture? Are we being faithful in teaching our kids the Word of God? Another huge part, of course, I mentioned it, is living the Word of God. Do your kids see you in the Word of God? Do they see you living by the Word of God? We all know if you say one thing and do something else, that's not going to work out very well. This instruction, instructing your kids, bringing them up in the instruction of the Lord, this is the Word of God part of discipling a kid. So we can see here that there's two huge, huge responsibilities that God is laying on parents. Bring your kids up in the discipline of the Lord. Disciple them in the disciplines of the Lord. Walk alongside them and instruct them in the Word of God. So we see that the two pillars here that we can look to for how to disciple our kids are our relationship with them and the Word of God. Now, I want to quickly ask, and please don't think I'm thinking of anyone in particular here, but what if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm screwing up. I'm not doing this right. God is a gracious God. Can I just tell you that? And somebody can say amen if you want to. God is so gracious. And what it takes is receiving that grace. God has given you His grace, and He's given you Himself. He's given you His strength. He's given you others around Him, parents that want to come by your side and walk you through this process. Walk me through this process someday, I hope. Receive that. Receive God's gifts to you. Wherever you are, and wherever you think you would place yourself on the parenting spectrum, whatever that means. The primary way God has set up for discipleship to happen in the family is in the family, from the parents to the kids. So as the one who's alongside your kids, teaching them, instructing them, discipling them, don't provoke your kids to anger by not discipling them, by not bringing them up. But walk alongside them, develop that relationship, and teach them the Word of God. Live it out in front of them. According to the Scriptures that we've just read here today, this is how discipleship happens in a family. Pray with me, please. Lord God, we come to you humbled by your Scripture. We're thankful that we're not alone, that you're a gracious God, that you're a loving, forgiving, helping God who doesn't sit back idly but is active in our lives. Help us to receive your grace and your strength as people, and for the parents in here as parents and as husbands and as wives, and to give that in discipleship to our kids and to our families. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and we ask God that you would give us the faith that it takes to believe in you alone and to trust in you alone. Pray that you would give us hope for the future. Let us not dismay, for you are the one that we stand on. Your word is the one that we stand on. Most of all, Lord God, we ask that you give us love for you and for everyone around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.